This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Good morning and a good Friday, and we're going to have a summer-like start to the weekend weather-wise, as you just heard, around 80 degrees today. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Hunger is present in every zip code in America, but counties with the highest rates of food insecurity are disproportionately rural, and rural areas make up 62% of all those counties, but 9 out of 10 counties with the highest food insecurity are rural. Feeding America. And we welcome Vince Hall, who's the Chief Government Relations Officer for Feeding America. And you can see Vince on our live stream at kdkradio.com, brought to you by Metropolitan Window Company. Vince, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me today.
And there's a good reason to have this conversation today, as we find groups around the country scrambling to figure out financially what's next. And in this case, you're here to really urge a bipartisan effort to keep feeding America, right?
That's exactly right. Organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank are doing extraordinary work, not just in the city of Pittsburgh, but in many of the surrounding counties where the rates of hunger reach the highest rates that we see. It is tragic, but 47 million people in the United States are struggling with hunger. That's about one out of every seven people. And those rates are significantly higher in rural America. But so is the cost of solving hunger as we try to move food further distances in smaller quantities to serve smaller communities. But organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank are dedicated to that, and they serve every county within the region.
You know, I remember the response here in Pittsburgh, especially right after the pandemic started. And now here we are all these years later, and Christy, we've been hearing from the Greater Community Food Bank here that the demand hasn't lessened. It's the same. Why is that?
You know, the tragedy is it's actually gone up. During the pandemic, the government took many steps to try to protect Americans from the effects of a shutdown of the economy, to try to help restart the economy. But it was actually when all of those pandemic era supports began to get rolled back by Congress that we saw hunger rates start to soar. About 40% of the people who came to food banks during the pandemic had never been to one before. And honestly, many of them have been unable to make enough money with the inflated prices for food and with rent and gas and all the other monthly budget essentials. They have not been able to stop relying on the food bank. And, you know, food banks are meant to be a temporary source of emergency help during hard times. They're not really equipped to be a permanent piece of each family's monthly budget equation. And that's why, as you said, we're really advocating in Congress for a new farm bill that makes strong investments in the important nutrition programs that can solve hunger for everybody in this country.
We're with Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer with Feeding America. So when you've reached out to both sides, what has been the response when you talk to them one-on-one? Do they get it?
Well, it's a mixture. I mean, the good news is that everybody identifies the problem of hunger as being serious. And across the aisles, both parties seem very dedicated to the idea of successful food banks, that they want organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank to succeed and to be able to serve everybody in line. But 23% of the food that comes to organizations like your local food bank is from the federal government, and those resources have been cut back. Those resources are actually declining. The way to solve that through the Farm Bill is to make significantly more investment in the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which we call TFAP, or to make improvements in the SNAP program, what we used to call food stamps. That SNAP program provides 9 meals for every 1 meal provided by all the nation's food banks combined. So it's really America's frontline defense against hunger. But without TFAP, without more federal commodities through the Emergency Food Assistance Program, it's going to be very difficult for food banks to be there for people who aren't eligible for SNAP or who just immediately fall on hard times and it takes a while to get on SNAP. And those are the resources that food banks need to serve every rural community as well as every neighborhood of Pittsburgh itself.
And if you support this effort, make sure you let your elected officials know. Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer with Feeding America, appreciate your time this morning on this Good Friday, Vince. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And appreciate the work you and everybody involved does on a daily basis. Every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, demand the yellow van. You know who's in town? Bob Dylan.
I was listening to a conversation the other day. I can't remember what show it was. I think it might have been a national, like, satellite show, in which one of the participants had recently been to a Bob Dylan concert and said that they did not understand a single word
and
during the performance. And I thought to myself, you know what? If you know the music, you're in a good spot. But if you maybe they should make the lyrics available like on a screen or have somebody, you know, passing out little pamphlets with the lyrics for each of the songs.
Do what they do now at the opera where you have subtitles.
Yeah. That would help.
You know, above on a screen, just
yeah.
To your point.
I mean, but who would have thought we'd be at the point where we're discussing Bob Dylan and the need for subtitles?
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't make him any less of a fantastic songwriter and a very interesting person and musician of, you know.
Why is his poetry, his lyrics, so timeless? And how has he been, you know, because he's been this incredible arc. And if you saw the movie... And by the way, this is the first time Bob Dylan's been to Pittsburgh since the movie was a smash hit, a complete unknown about his early days. You can see early on in the movie the fact that he doesn't want to keep singing the same song. So when he does a show, even though the fans want to hear their favorites, he wants to play something different.
Sure. What's your favorite, by the way? Do you have a favorite Bob Dylan song?
It's the old school stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the most basic is Blowin' in the Wind. And some of the other songs that he wrote that other artists did, like All Along the Watchtower, Jimi Hendrix
did. How about Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yeah. I mean, there is a list of great songs, which I doubt you're going to hear Monday night.
No, I got to say that one of my favorites is from the 70s, You Gotta Serve Someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the show is sold out. Doesn't surprise me. What's the Benedum hold? Like 2,800 people. And I saw him, it was a few years ago. You probably remember. I told you I was going to see him at the RMU Center.
Has it been years now? Mike,
it's been a few years.
What a blur this has been for me here.
And I said this would be, you know, probably the last chance to see Bob Dylan, but here he is back Monday night.
Hey, good for him.
And somebody said, well, to your point, you're not going to understand a single word he says.
Well, if you know the music, it doesn't matter.
And they were right. But it was cool to see him. He's so iconic. And when he came out, he was at a piano. But it wasn't a grand piano. It was like one of those music school pianos where you have the wooden slats that go, you know, diagonal.
Piano, right.
And all you could see was from his nose up and his hair sticking straight up.
I also heard in this comment, and I guess you can confirm this now, that he really doesn't interact with the audience.
No, he didn't really.
Yeah.
But I just figured that, you know, that was his thing.
Well, you're there to hear the music.
But the people that were there, just, they didn't care.
No, I wouldn't.
But it was funny. Yes, ma'am. I had no idea. Through the first song, I looked at my buddy. I'm like, I have no idea what he's saying, but I don't care. So that's one of the highlights to the weekend. There are a lot of musical acts in town. Scott Blasey is doing a tribute to David Bowie. Scott's from the Clarks.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very popular. Well, very, very talented.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
And at the movies, one of the movies that I am going to see.
Oh, here we go with that wartime movie, right?
It's called Warfare, and it was produced and directed by a Navy SEAL about Ramadi in Iraq in 2006. And he said it didn't get a lot of attention, and he, in part, wants to set the record straight. And the way they shot this is many of the scenes are in real time. So when they tell you, you know, help's on the way in a minute, it's a minute or two or three, you know, the way this is done, because he wanted to give, I guess, us civilians as accurate a description of what these men went through in 2006.
You're like, what's 1 minute when you're sitting in traffic, right? Or 1 minute when you're at home doing something like cooking in the kitchen? It really, it's just a minute. Doesn't really make any difference. But what's a minute when you're under fire and you need help now? And it seems a lot longer, doesn't it?
And there is a concern because it's so realistic. As we discussed and we talked to Steve Monteleone from It's About the Warrior Foundation, he deals with a lot of veterans who are experiencing post-traumatic stress. So this movie, in a way, on one hand, is cathartic and healing to some in the sense that they're able to tell their story. It can be a trigger for others.
And Larry, besides the indoor stuff like concerts and movies, there's going to be a tremendous opportunity starting today and through the weekend, through Sunday, Easter Sunday, to get outdoors and do things. We've got highs in the low 80s or mid 70s. Sunday cools off a little bit. Maybe a little thunderstorm in the afternoon tomorrow. And then Sunday looks great. If you got Monday off, travel weather is going to be decent, but there might be some showers and thunderstorms. A lot of people are going to be outdoors this weekend.
Yeah, many times I've been told to get out, and so I will. You know,
well, for example, North Park would be a good spot to pop up, wouldn't you think?
I walked there yesterday, and I'm telling
you. Hey, how are things going spring-wise there?
In the park?
Yeah.
It was jammed, like it was a summer day. I drove past this place called Cadence, which is one of those cool bike places that's also a restaurant, and the place was jammed. The parking lot was filled, and this is around 5 o'clock, right? And then there's the golf, where you have the driving range there and the batting cages, jammed, like it was a Saturday summer day. It was packed everywhere, walking around the lake, people on bike. I love to see that. And people are itching.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
To get out. And so you have a chance to do that again today and parts of the weekend. What are we at, 51 right now, Paul?
It is.
So it's going to be, watch me do this math, 30 degrees warmer this afternoon. 30. See how I calculated that?
Mm-hmm. And no fingers or toes were used in the computation.
I've been around long enough where I learned on an abacus at St. Ursula Grade School. I'm Larry Richard. Welcome. Thanks for choosing us. A lot going on this weekend on this Good Friday. And one of the most important takeaways of the week has been the discussion about autism with our new health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And joining us is a parent of a 27-year-old, Lynn Cass, his son. She describes as profound autism, intellectual disability, epilepsy, and anxiety. She is a disability advocate with the East Suburban Citizen Advocacy. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I think one of the things, or one of the takeaways, is the fact that we're talking about autism and talking about finding ways to help and maybe get to what the genesis of this is. But you've lived this life. And when was your son first diagnosed? How old?
He was diagnosed at age 3.
And is that typical?
I believe it is typical, but to be honest with you, in hindsight, there were some things that we saw in him that should have been red flags, but honestly, we didn't really know at the time. Thankfully, we had a very astute pediatrician who noticed some things, but I do believe that around preschool age is generally when people begin to notice the signs of autism, yes.
And when you say that, what are the signs?
Well, in the case of my son, he had some delayed milestones, delayed gross motor milestones, was slow to walk, actually never crawled, never was able to pull himself up. So he had some delayed gross motor milestones. He had some issues with eye contact, and his speech and his movements were very atypical. He did not use first-person pronouns. He used third-person pronouns, which is called echolalia. In other words, he would repeat language to me the same way I would say it to you. So if I would say to him, Alex, you do, he would use the pronoun you instead of using the word I. So some of those things were the clues to us that maybe there was something exactly not right there.
And since he is 27, you've dealt with this for the last two decades plus. And what has that journey been like?
Well, it's been a long journey. It's definitely a marathon and not a sprint. And I think sometimes when your children are first diagnosed, there's definitely a sense of grieving and a sense of, you know, not really knowing what the future holds. Alex was lucky enough to attend a very good school for the majority of his public school time. He went to Presley Ridge Day School for Autism, which gave him an excellent education. But the reality is that Alex is still profoundly affected by his disability. And once he left the school system at age 21, which children who are in special education are eligible to stay in school until age 21. And once he left school at age 21, his needs were still significant. They were still there. And unfortunately, the adult world for individuals with autism and just with developmental disability in general, adult world is in many ways woefully inadequate to serve the needs of our growing children.
And I know there is a spectrum with a wide variety of different ways that this presents. And many, there are many on the spectrum, as I understand, who are high functioning and can do very well under circumstances.
Absolutely.
But one of the concerns you have is the funding to continue these programs for special needs children.
Right, absolutely. I mean, make no mistake, whether an individual is, no matter where on the spectrum an individual falls, they are lacking in appropriate services. Students who are able to come out of school and able to enter into the workforce, it's very difficult to get appropriate job coaching. It's difficult to obtain and maintain employment. It's difficult to get supports for students who go on to take college classes, but it's also very difficult for individuals like my son, who by definition, profound autism is someone who requires 24/7 care for the remainder of their life due to communication deficits, in Alex's case, intellectual disability, epilepsy, and it costs money to provide these services to individuals. And that is a real concern that, that parents have, that whether the funding will indeed still be there for their children. And then once the funding is there, there's also the added difficulty of a continuing workforce crisis the whole way through. We don't have enough special education teachers. We don't have enough direct support professionals, enough behavioral specialists, enough support coordinators. All across, we do not have enough people in the workforce to deliver the services that are necessary. So funding is a big part of it, and we are concerned with the, you know, the kind of axe-wielding cuts that we fear are in the future. That is a big part of it. But once you get the funding, you actually have to have trained and qualified people to do these jobs. And that's another issue that families have concern about.
Well, I appreciate your passion, and we encourage people to reach out for more information and certainly encourage our elected officials to help keep funding and even increase funding in this world. So, Lynn, thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry, for the time to talk about this very important issue. Thank you very much.
You got it. We appreciate you and know that so many people do care. Lynn Cass on the Big K Morning Show. And you really feel for parents who are in this world. However, you are not alone. And
it's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
That is an FSU student, Larry, who says some students have packed up and left campus.
I don't know about you, but when I heard about this yesterday, your heart just sinks. Oh, no, not again.
Absolutely. Motorists will be dealing with a lot of stuff. Not only the McNightmare construction and lane restrictions, big crossover change happening today, but even more so the heavy traffic on the turnpike and interstates during the holiday weekend.
Yeah, people are on the move. We talk about Labor Day and Memorial Weekend for travel, but this weekend, including Monday, it's very busy.
Yeah, it's like more than a half million vehicles on Monday, nearly 600,000, in fact, on the turnpike alone, Larry.
That's actually incredible. So, heads up, don't drive distracted. The Washington Capitals social media posted this. Ovi Chance in Pittsburgh, never thought we'd see the day. Thank you, Penguin fans.
Yeah, last game of the season, a 5-3 win for the Pens, but also the recognition for Ovechkin. After the game, I saw a picture of Ovechkin with both Gino and Sid in one of the hallways, you know, where the locker rooms would be, and they were presenting him with a Rolex watch.
And he looked happy.
Yeah.
Was really nice. They ran about a 90-second video of highlights of Ovechkin's career, which pumped up the crowd. He got a very warm ovation, and I'm sure he appreciated that. Maybe didn't expect it in Pittsburgh because of all the great battles they've had over the year. And as you would expect, both Ovechkin and Crosby each scored a goal.
As well they should have.
And the Pens won the game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Pens, that's it. And the Caps go on to the playoffs, one of 16 teams to get Lord Stanley's Cup, and it was a great night in Pittsburgh.
The markets are closed today for Good Friday, but the trade war continues to worry investors. The Dow dropped another 527 points on Thursday. The Nasdaq lost 20, and the S&P 500 picked up just 7. A federal judge ruled that Google is operating a monopoly in online advertising technology. Last year, the same judge ruled Google maintained a monopoly over internet searches. The rulings raise the possibility that Google could be broken up. Google is appealing both decisions. Burn injuries triggered a massive recall of 429,000 wireless Casely PowerPod phone chargers. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says their lithium batteries can overheat and ignite. They were sold between March 2022 and September 2024. If you have one, you're urged to stop using it immediately. Looking for a meal deal? Red Robin launched its Bottomless Burger Pass on Thursday that offers gourmet burgers and bottomless sides for just $20. But the pass is sold out within minutes, crashing the website. But not to worry, you can still get in on the popular all-you-can-eat Buffalo Wild Wings and Fries deal offered every Monday and Wednesday. We can all use deals like those these days. That's your CBS Money Watch report for this Friday morning. I'm Carissa Lawson, CBS News, New
York. This market update is brought to you by UPMC Health Plan, your plan for life, right? I got that, Aaron. So, Aaron, big weekend. You don't have to travel. No weddings, obviously, with a holiday weekend.
No weddings, thank goodness.
And you went, you're in that time period in your life where you're going to baby showers, weddings.
What can we call it? It is such an era of, like, your late 20s, early 30s. It's insane.
It's actually a really good time. You just don't know it yet.
You're just in a tornado, never-ending tornado.
Right. You can't think about it. And that's why when you have kids and then you go through that tornado, right? You're going to soccer practice, basketball, you're going to school, all this stuff, right? I had three kids, so you're literally driving everywhere.
Oh, my
You
goodness.
Go here, I'll go here, pick it up, and it flies by. And then if you're fortunate enough, you get a grandchild, and people tell you, oh, it's better than you think it'll be. And it is, because it's totally different, because there's less of a direct responsibility.
Yes, so you become their bestie.
You can live in the moment, and there's no bond, and you probably know this as well, that you have that's so unique with your relationship with your grandparents.
So true. So true.
I had a grandmother, Irish grandmother, and she had lots of grandkids, but you always felt like there was something special, like anything you did, she'd forgive you for.
Well, and my relationship with my grandma was she could get feisty with me, I could get feisty with her, and she'd say, when I would go to nail appointments, she would say, why don't you start taking me with you? Go ahead and pick me up before you head to that appointment. I said, okay, I guess I have no choice. You just coerced me into that. And that's what we did.
And that same grandmother for me, when she passed, she was in intensive care. And I got there to visit and they said, that's not a good time, but wait a minute. I went in. She was unconscious, grabbed her hand, and she passed.
Wow. What a special moment you got to have with her.
Obviously, that's something you never forget, but you think she waited.
Yeah, that's amazing.
For me to say goodbye.